We're talking about questions, right? Is a woman Kohenis allowed to be in the Mikdash?
Yeah, for sure.
She's letting her hang around.
Right, right. For, again, everyone who goes to the Mikdash needs a purpose, you know, for why they're going into the Mikdash.
I don't mean we're not talking about we're the same place where Israel can be. She go inside the Mikdash.
Yeah.
She can.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
But that's only
if she has a reason to be there.
So that's why you had a hot minute she might be able to do the Hagashas.
Correct.
Possibly be mine.
Correct.
Okay. So she could, I don't know, with a Hagashas, and Yisrael is not letting up anything there.
But also, what time is it?
Well, Kohenis can, apparently.
It's time to start?
I don't think so.
That's what you just said.
All right. So, John, you know what? We'll I don't want to disturb Decha Rusa, but since it's already... No. I didn't mean to disturb that.
We're ready. No, that's okay.
Okay. So you're ready.
In real time.
Okay, great. I know that Ben wanted to join us. I don't know if he's aware of the fact that we're...
I spoke to Herb last night.
Yeah, Herb, how's he doing? Long time no.
Yeah, he's been in out of country. He's been in America.
Right.
But he's now back here now. But the problem is his hip is messed up. He's going to need to have a hip replacement.
Yikes.
And he said, if you want to learn in the park, you'll come, but he can't get up the steps.
Okay, so you know what? Tell him I want to work it out that we can learn together. Oh, Ben, could I show you also, if you're getting a tea, get one for me. I left it on my table right in front of my shtender. You'll see.
Should I put more hot water in it?
No, it should be hot.
As is?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much. Tizkele mitzvahs. Okay, Rabosai. I want to talk to you about one dimension of Kodshim that fascinates me. If you open up, for example, to Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and there are many other sugyas that we could open up. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
And if you count down, say about 10 lines from the top, the Gemara is talking about Kabbalah Saddam, and the Gemara wants to suggest a certain pircha to a limud, Yalfusa. And that pircha is that we find a chumra in Kabbalah. So therefore, if we derive, for example, from the parasha of Kabbalah Saddam, that you need a Kabbalah Saddam lishma and shalom lishma apostles in Kabbalah, that would not be able to serve as a paradigm case to derive other avodos, that there's a likewise a parallel psul of shalom lishma, because Kabbalah, the Torah, was very machmir in Kabbalah. What's the chumra of Kabbalah? So the Gemara says that if Lishma was only written in Kabbalah, we would not be able to derive Shechita, for example, from Kabbalah, Mishum De'ikol Mifrach, Mala Kabbalah, Shekein Psula, Bizar, Ube'isha. That there are two categories of Psulim that apply to Kabbalah and don't apply to Shechita. In other words, Shechita is Ksheira B'Isha, Shechita is Ksheira B'Zar, whereas Kabbalah Saddam is Psula B'Zar and Psula B'Isha.
Why would they have to say Psula B'Isha?
Oh, that's going to be our question for today. Again, I hope we'll get to other questions too, but at least for the first half of today's Shia, our main question is, what was the Gemara thinking when it added the word V'Isha? Now, I have a footnote here, just I want to mention it up front. Hashita Mekubetzes, Machak Tevas Ve'isha.
That made it easy.
Right. So he doesn't have in his Girsa the word Ve'isha. But our text does have Isha. And the question is, how do we understand these two Girsos? Why should we have the Girsa V'Isha in addition to Zar? Why should we not have V'Isha in addition to Zar? Now what I want to do is, again, I'm sorry about the photocopying here, there's just so many different pages that I wanted to possibly copy for you, but one of the pages is here in the back of the Masifti. You know, there's something called Yalkut Bi'ur, which is a very tremendous contribution. And here in the Yalkut Shiurim, the Yalkut Biurim, there's a paragraph here that I wanted to call to your attention. Do you have, Ben, your copy of...
Yes, I can share it back here, or
You have your Masifta?
Yes.
All right, so I might ask you, we'll see if you can photocopy. Take a look at Yalkut Biurim on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. And he has a piece here which I'm trying to find. Just give me a second. Here it is. It's on the bottom of page Nun Beis in the Yalkut Birum on the bottom right. He says, Hashitim kubetzes mochak tevas ve'isha ube pashtus hu mishum shepsul isha hu bechlal psul zorus. And he's going to quote a Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph to prove that since it says in the Avodah Bnei Aaron, Alan, could you do me a favor and just read to me the last line on Lamed Vav Amid Aleph and the top line of Lamed Vav Amid Beis, or you feel whoever has it clear?
Okay. Kabbalos.
Oh.
Dichsiv Vikrivu Bnei Aaron.
Vikrivu Bnei Aaron. By the way, does the what's it called, the not the Ein Mishpat, but he has the Torah Or, I think it's called there, because I gave you my Gemara Kedusha, I didn't leave it for myself.
Yeah.
I'm a very selfless guy, you know. Yeah, Nun Beis in Yalkut Birurim. You have the Torah Or, you know, where he quotes the whole pasuk, because it's good to see the whole pasuk. Should be the last one in the whole list of the Torah. It's a tremendous list of the Torah. Or if you want, I'll take back what I gave you. I just don't want to be an Indian giver.
It says the Sama Yodo on Rosh Hashanah, Binyan Solo, Lechapir Allah, the Shachatas Ben Abakar, Mivnei Hashem, the Kruvu Bnei Aaron HaKohanim.
Good. Vikrivu Bnei Aaron HaKohanim Sadam. And what does the word Vikrivu mean? It means Kabbalah Saddam.
Right.
Again, sometimes the word Vikrivu means Halacha Saddam, and sometimes it means Kabbalah Saddam. And here it's the Torah went out of its way to point out Bnei Aaron HaKohen.
Right.
And the double language here seems to be superfluous, but we could say that the extra emphasis here is an extra mute to exclude Benos Aaron, which means that as far as Avod is concerned, they have the status of Zorim. This is interesting. She's a Bas Aaron, but she's considered a Zar as far as Avodah is concerned. Now he has a footnote here on the bottom. If you have it up on your screen. Okay, so footnote number Lamed Ches all the way in the bottom, which in my book it's on the left column, the second. Yeah. Bechein Dikta Mari Kurkus Miloshen Rambam. Bias Migdosh Perik Tes Haloch Aleph. Ezehu Zar, says the Rambam. Kol She'eno Mizera Aaron Haschorin. The Rambam is saying that if you're not a Zohar, then you're considered a Zar. The beautiful Diuk of the Mari Kurkus. Mari Kurkus was, by the way, one of the Megurashei Sfarad, and he lived about six centuries ago. And he's medayik in the Rambam, that the Rambam, when he talks about who's a Zohar, he says anyone who's not a Zohar. He could be Bnei Aaron, but he's not a Zohar.
So he
quotes a pasuk, Viktiru Bnei Aaron v'lo Benos Aaron. So the Rambam quotes that pasuk, says the Mari Kurkus, in order to establish that the psul of Isha is a psul of Zarus. Now, if not for this Mari Kurkus and the Diuk in the Rambam, we could have offered another interpretation. And this alternative interpretation appears in Tosfos in Chulin on Daf Beis. You know, the beginning of Chulin starts with the fact that we don't appoint a woman, and Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi, that we don't appoint a woman as a shochet. You know, that's called a minikol. He says that Tosfos understands that as far as Kachim is concerned, even though she's Ksheril Lashchitas Chulin, but with regard to Kachim, Mashma Shepsul Isha Hu Psul Bifnei Atzmo. What does it mean by Bifnei Atzmo?
Separate for that case.
But Bifnei Atzmo is opposed to what, Ben?
Bifnei Atzma.
Right, but it's opposed to what? Bifnei Atzmo here is the flip side of what? No one's following. Okay, let's start from scratch.
As opposed to Banot?
No. Sorry. Okay, let's start from scratch because I see my pedagogical skills and I pick
up. As opposed to a Zar Yisrael.
Excellent, as opposed to a Zar. Let's start again. The Rambam, says the Mari Kurkus, classifies a woman in Kodshim as a Zar. Tosis says it's a Psul Bifnei Atzmo, which means the opposite of what? of Rambam, of Zar, whereas the Rambam says that she's a Zar. And again, we're going to try to develop nafkaminas to this. This is not just in Luftarayin, you know, up in the abstract. There's one way of saying that an Isha has a din of a Zar, and that's clear from the Rambam, as the Marie Korkus points out. And then there's another way that the Tosfos says, a psul b'tnei atzma. It's a brand new psul. And he says, Shekein Kosvu. Tosfos says that the Mishnah says with regard to Shechita, Ksheira, B'Noshim, Vizarim. Why did the Mishnah classify Noshim and Zarim as two separate categories? Because Mishum Shevashara Avodus Noshim Psulos Afilu Ein Koenos. But he seems to assume that Noshim comes under a different category. Now let's go back up to the text of the Yalkut Biurim, all the way on top. And he says, first quoting the Rambam, Le'inyan avod on the second line, Arehe kizoros, zoros, right? So zar in feminine. U'me'achar shekfar porcha ha'gemor malik ha'bol shekei psul le'zar, Memela, according to the Rambam's understanding, is nechleles bozer af isha. There's no need for the Gemara to add isha once it already mentioned zar, because he's just repeating the same thing. A woman is a zar. So that's why the Shitim Gubetzis omits the word Isha. He belongs to the camp of the Rambam. But now we have another camp, as we saw, and that's the camp of Tosfos at the beginning of Masechta Chulin, and there Tosfos seems to assume that there are two categories. There's one category called Zar, and then there's another category called Isha, and she has a psul bifnei atzma, which means unto itself, not the Torah Zar. So that could justify our girsa, that our girsa has both Zar and Isha. Why? Isn't it just a repetition? The answer is no. It's not a repetition. It's a brand new psul. She doesn't fit into the category of Zar. And again, we're going to try to develop the nafkaminas. But first, I want to just talk in abstract terms.
Zar in this context means a non-Kohen. Is that correct?
Correct. So the question is a woman who's born as a Kohen a non-Kohen? At least as far as Avodah is concerned. Again, she can eat truma. We're not going to talk about that. If she, you know,
isn't she usually labeled as a bat kohen? She can eat truma because she's a bat kohen?
Yeah, so what I'm asking is, when you call her a bat kohen, are you saying that she's basically a kohen? Does she have an extra... Does a woman who come... You know, in the Masechet Ksubos, it says that they used to pay 400 zuz to marry a bas kohen. I don't know if there's anyone here in the room who's married to a Basco. You're married to a Basco. Did you pay 400? You didn't pay 400.
No, I don't want to brag.
So. Yeah, okay. But you probably didn't pay 400 zuz. Because La Locha, the minig is that we write 200 zuz for all women. And the Mishnah itself says that the old minig, back in the day, in Yehuda, different minhag Yehuda Golil, was to write 400 zuz. So Basco is the Yichus. So apparently she has a special Kedusha that a regular Bas Yisrael doesn't have. So it's the Basco. In fact, the Torah says that if you have a relationship with a Bas Kohen and the Znus, it generates a Chiv Sreifa rather than the regular punishment of Skila, even though Sreifa is more Choron than Skila. Again, for that you have to know Masechta the Sanhedrin. But the point is that Bas Kohen is a status in Halacha. So now that she's Psula for Avodas HaKohuna, what are we saying? One way is to say it, that the Torah was Mechadish a Psul. There are many Psulim in Avodah. Balmum is possible for Avodah. Mechus Fagadim is possible for Avodah. There are many categories of Psulim in Avodah. And another category is Isha. What should we say? No. Then you're right. In certain dinim, she has Kedushas Kahuna. But in other dinim, she's Mufka from Kedushas Kahuna. She's a Zar. And the fact that she was born as a Bas Kohen is irrelevant to Migdash. It has no bearing whatsoever. She is a Zar. And she's Mufka from Kedushas Kahuna. And the way the Rambam seems to formulate it, that's exactly what's going on here. So he wants to suggest that we can use that to justify the Shita Gubetzis is, you know, he's like psychologically compelled. I gotta remove the word Isha, because then you get the impression that Zar Luchud and Isha Luchud, which is not true, because the Psul of Isha is identical with the Psul of Zar. She never had Kedushas Kahuna as far as the Avodah in the Migdash is concerned. Yeah, Ben.
I'm just saying, when a Bat Kohen leaves her father's house, she can no longer eat Truma. So that seems to indicate she has less of a Kahuna status.
Well, again, it depends what you mean by leaving her father's Rishus. For example, if she only has Erisin and not Nisuin, so she still continues to eat Truma if her father's a Kohen.
But Evan also eats Truma, no?
Evid also needs truma if he's owned by a kohen because he's Kenyan Kasper.
He clearly has no yet yichus of truma.
Ah, okay, good. That's a good point. But again, in this case, she's not Kenyan Kasper. She's just a bas kohen. So that's very interesting that a bas kohen does have certain dinim. But as far as avod is concerned, the Rambam insists that she's what? She's a zar. See, by saying zar and then mentioning an isha, you're just repeating yourself. Now, in the next paragraph, he says the following. Yesh shekosvu achronim biyishuv agirsas shalfanenu. Why did the Gemara add zar? Add isha to zar. Sheyesh makom lomer sheisha eina bichlalos bizar. El psul isha psul bifnei atzma. And that's what we said before. It's a new category. We'll see the repercussions. And he says shekain histapik hamishna lemelech. You know, the Mishnah Melech lived about 3 centuries ago in Turkey. And he was a big lamdan. I mean, Rav Soloveitchik used to say that there were very few turban wearers, meaning Sfaradim, who had the brisket derech. But he said the Mishnah Melech had the brisket derech way before Rav Chaim. And the Mishnah Melech wants to know, listen carefully, what's the status of an Isha in a Bama? Because during the time of Heter Bomos, a Zar was kosher l'avodos ha-karbon. So in other words, a non-Kohen could do all 4 avodos on a Boma, b'zman Heter Bomos. And not only that, what would be with regard to an Isha? Now she has 2 strikes against her. She's not Zichre and she's not Kahuna. She's neither of the two, right? So the answer would be that she's kosher l'avodah. So if you ever want to quiz, you know, because, you know, the women are very sensitive today when they get, they get excluded. So if you ever want to quiz a group of these modern women and say, oh, you know, they'll say, oh, the Torah excluded a woman from the Beis HaMikdash, prove to them that as far as Avodas HaKarban is concerned, and again, the Kedushas Karban is identical in Obama as it is in Beis HaMikdash, so you'll prove to them that according to the Mishnah of Melech, Isha is Ksherah from all the 4 Avodos to be Machshir HaKarban, but where? In Obama. So at least, you know, we have Isha on the screen, on the Richter screen, okay? I always like to show you that when they attack, you know, Judaism and Halacha, that the woman is excluded, I always like to show you that there's always one exception to the rule. Because if there's one exception to the rule, it really disproves the whole thesis, you know?
What is his riot for that?
So wait a minute, no, we're going to go through this, but just, Alan, give me a chance to, you know, to pontificate a little bit. In other words, what I want to do is just set up a conceptual structure over here. If we say that there's a psul b'fnei atzmo of Isha, and she's not a Zara, then I don't know what the status is as far as a Bama, meaning as far as a Bama is concerned, the Mishnah Melech is very well... so well advised and well justified to say that a woman is kshera for a bama. Why? Because basically she's not excluded from the avoda. Like for example, in the case of a bama, a zar is not excluded from avoda. All we're saying about an isha is that she has a din of a zar. No, if she has a din of a zar, then just like a zar is not necessarily excluded from avoda, he's only excluded from an avoda in Mikdash, but not in Bama, then an isha is also kshera in Bama. So I understand the Mishnah Melech very well. But that's all if I assume the Rambam Shita, namely that the Rambam understands that isha is psula b'torah zar. No, therefore, the Mishnah Melech derives the logical conclusion that her halachic status is identical with a zar. So wherever zar is kosher l'avoda, an isha is kshera l'avoda. Wherever zar is posel l'avoda, an isha is psul l'avoda, the Shita Mekbetzis removes the word isha because it's just a repeat performance of zar. But if we introduce the Shita of Tosis in Chulin, then Alan's question becomes very well. Very, 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 very pointed question. How does the Mishnah Melech know that an isha is kshera b'bama? Maybe if the Torah passed an isha, it passed an isha completely and was mafkia her status as far as kachim is concerned. So let's just see the Mishnah Melech inside. He says, "Estapik haMishnah Melech Karpon Pesach Perek Aleph b'meshe b'bama she'ena tzricha kuhuna." Now he throws in Big Day Shares because we have a special afka of an isha from Big Day Shares, as we'll see as we go along. The afzar kosher lavod ba, so a zar who's wearing begadim shalchol is allowed to do all 4 avodos in a bama. So what's the status of an isha? Ha'im ha'isha gamken k'sheru ba'olo? And the answer to the Mishnah's question is, what is your girsa here in Zvachim Daf Dalet? If your girsa is Zar, and you're like the Shidu Mekvetz, you take out Isha because she's a Zar, then there's no reason to exclude an Isha from Avodah V'Bah. But if, on the other hand, you have a girsa that has both Zar and Isha, which means that Isha is under a separate category in a new psul, then there's no reason to assume that that psul is alleviated with regard to a Bama. The Hevi Shama Marit. Okay, Marit is one of Chachmei Sfarad from the time of like 6 centuries ago, who says that he has a proof from a Tosfos in Masechta Kiddushin, which you have in front of you, Dibra Maschel Asmichos. Do you have such a Tosfos there? Asmichos? It should be on the bottom. Or next to the bottom.
Where is this in the Masifta?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Nun Beis. It's called page 52.
Right.
And it's on the left column. And if you count down about 6 lines, you may see a line that begins with Kiddushin Lamed Vav.
Okay.
Now, the Marit quotes a Tosis in Kiddushin Lamed Vav. Sha'af Isha K'shera B'Bama. So again, Belineda will have to go through the Tosfos with a thin, you know, a fine-tooth comb, because it's not so clear from that Tosfos. But the Marit understood, when he learned the Tosfos, that an Isha is Kshera B'Bama, which would prove that what's the nature of the Psul of Isha?
Oh, no. What'd you say?
Guys, don't let me down.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I was busy reading this.
Oh, okay.
Question.
Again, if Tosfos says what the Marit claims he says, that an Isha is Kshera B'Bama, what does that prove about the classification of an Isha with regard to Avodah?
Psul
Zar. Everybody have that?
Yeah.
So Vibalt, it's a Psul Zar, and there's no Psul Zaras in Bama, therefore an Isha is Kshera B'Bama. This is what you call modus tollens. You remember that from high school? You know, when you learn basic logic, you know, if all S is P and Q is P, therefore Q is A, you know, Q is S, you know what I'm saying? If these are the following principles. Principle number one is that a Zar is kosher l'bama. Principle number two, an Isha is psula l'avoda b'torah zar. Therefore, an Isha is kshera and l'bama.
Right.
And Tosis, in fact, says that an Isha is... What did I just say? I meant to say Isha's Kshera B'Bama.
Yeah, she
had... Oh, okay, fine. Okay, sometimes I make that...
She has the din of Zar.
Right, she has the din of Zar, and Zar is Kosher L'Bama, so Isha's Kshera L'Bama. And this, according to the Marit, is the Raya to support the Mishnah Melech. Again, the Marit is before the Mishnah Melech. It's the Marit who quote. It's the Mishnah Melech who quotes the Marit. They both came from Spain, although he moved to Turkey. And the proof from the Marit is that we see that the psul of Isha in Kodshim is identical with the psul of Zar, and therefore she's Kshera B'Bama. But then he quotes a Makar Baruch. This is already on the Ashkenazic side of the equation. And the Makar Baruch lived about 200 years ago, even less probably. And he writes that if you take a look in the Yerushalmi, it's Mefurash Loken. And Zar is Kasha B'Bama, but Isha's Psula B'Bama. Please underline this. This is mamish mind-boggling. The Yerushalmi says explicitly that a woman is excluded from a B'Bama.
Okay.
Why? Mishum Ish Kasha, Ish Kasha V'Parsha. I think in the footnote here, he quotes the Karman Eda and the Pnei Moshe. Those are the super commentaries on the Yerushalmi, that with regard to Bama, the word Isha appears, to exclude Isha.
Oh, he says, Karmenei, the Pirush in Yerushalmi, in Yerachah.
Oh, so it's the Pnei Moshe that he wants to call the Pnei Moshe, yeah. I was once present at a machlokas, a very, very heated machlokas between my chavrusa at that time, Rav Moshe Chorsky, Zichrono Livracha, who was killed, and Chaim Ilson, Yibod Al-Chaim. And Moshe Chorsky was quoting the Pnei Moshe on the Yerushalmi. So Rabbi Ilson said, oh, who cares about the Pnei Moshe? You know, who says the Pnei Moshe is part of the Masoret HaTorah? And Rabbi Chorsky got very angry at him. He says, what are you talking about? The Pnei Moshe is the Malabas on the Yerushalmi. He said... Anyway, so it seems from the Pnei Moshe, the way that he interprets the Yerushalmi, a woman is excluded from avoda in a bama, because the pasuk says ish ulidvarav. He says, what do you see from the makar baruch? Getting back to the suffik of the Mishnah Melech, muchach shepsul ish lavoda ain mishum zaros, because if it was b'tar zaros she b'ksheira ela hu psul b'fnei atzma. V'chein ochiach hamakar baruch midivrei atosefta. Oh, this is even a clearer proof. It says in the Tosefta, "Hakol sheirim b'bama, af hagerim ve'avodim mishuchrarim." Now that phrase should ring in your ears by sheer association. Except we're missing one word. It appears all over the place. You open up, for example, the Tosefta Megillah to find out about who's chayav in Mikra Megillah, and it usually says, "Nashim avodim." And avodim mishuchrarim and so forth and so on.
But this is different because he's avodim mishuchrarim and not avodim.
So again, Zev, I want to hear what you're saying, but I just want to make the mathematical conclusion so I'll be intelligent enough to answer your question, or maybe not to answer your question, to appreciate your question. But it says the following, that everyone's kosher for a bama, with the exception of. Now, if you're going to list all the exceptions, then Isha, according to the Marit, should be included in the exceptions, right? Because I call Ksherim B'Bama, Chutz Mi.
But those are Chutz, this is Afagir. This is inclusions.
Oh, that's what you were saying, Zev. Okay, Meichil and Zev. Okay, one second, I'm sorry, I jumped the gun here. But we're coming.
We can also say sometimes, Yatuyeimai.
So wait a minute. So again, let's read the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Hakol Ksherim B'Bama. Hakol Ksherim B'Bama. Af Hagerim V'Avodim Mishuchrarim. Oh, I see. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The Makar Baruch is building his case on the word Mishuchrarim. That he's got to be an Eved Mishuchrar. What's the status of an Eved Meshukrar? He's a ger, right? He's a ger. He's chayiv in all tarig mitzvahs. As opposed to an isha, who's not obligated in all tarig mitzvahs. Or as opposed to an Eved, correct? So which Eved is considered kosher b'bama? Only a ger. He underwent shichrur. He says, mevuar, the dafka li'achas shtachru ksherim, abo ba'odim avonim psulim. Now, an eved now is posel li'avodim b'boma, according to the Tosefta, correct? Because hakol ksherim l'boma means an eved meshuchar, but only an eved meshuchar. Now, the status of an isha is equivalent to an eved she'eino meshuchar. Right? We have a hekesh of la'la, which he equates an isha with an eved for all mitzvahs. So now it comes out that if an eved is posel lavoda, mikansha af isha psula b'bama, which is the exact opposite of what the Marit wants to prove. The Marit wants to prove from the Yerushalmi, right? Just let me get the. I'm sorry, I don't have a blackboard. I should really write this out. Let's go through it again. According to Tosfos, which we didn't find in Tosfos yet, Alan, maybe you'll find it. Isha ksheira b'bama. Do you find that in Tosfos? That's the way the Marit reads Tosfos. Do you find such a thing? Isha ksheira b'bama.
Pray b'gvara limute kohanos avos michos, and that's something like.
But what does he say about bama? He says anything about bama?
He doesn't mention bama.
Yes, I don't know exactly. I had the same problem as you. I don't know where the Marit saw this in Tosfos. I mean, I'm not sure.
Unless he's understanding Tosfos, the fact that this exists is a to Mimayit and Isha from a boat in the Mikdash tells you another. Otherwise, she'd be kosher. She's kosher than Mikdash. She's certainly kosher with Bama.
Well, it's hard to believe that anyone holds that she's kosher with Mikdash. What do you mean?
But why
here's my pencil. I've been looking all over. Yeah.
Why would I need exists a to limit a woman from being able to come here? Why would I need a pasuk that says "Bahagashos"? It says "Mnei Aaron Hakohen was open, no Saron." Why? I would think that the woman could be involved in Hagashos. She can actually partake in that part of the avoda. So yeah, the pasuk says she can't because it says "Mnei Aaron was open, no Saron."
Right.
So the fact that there might have been a habamina, I need the pasuk to mimai them. Mm-hmm. So maybe I might think they'd be kosher to do it. They kosher to do that. They certainly kosher to do bama.
Right. There's definitely a havamina that an isha is ksheira lekodesh. So again, Rabbos, I just want to. You can continue your conversation, but I have to speak out loud because otherwise, you don't mind. Yeah. So I just want to say the fire. I'm just trying to calculate the scorecard here because I should really be writing this on the blackboard. According to the Ma'arit in Tosfos, the way he learns Tosfos, an isha's ksheira bibama. The Makar Baruch claims that based on the Yushalmi, and this is the way the Pnei Moshe explains the Yushalmi, an isha psula bibama. Do we have that? Isha psula bibam.
It doesn't say in the Gemara in Tosfos here.
No, I'm just trying to.
That's right.
I'm just trying to calculate the upshot here. The Ma'arit claims, this is Roman numeral number one, that according to Tosfos, Isha ksheira bibam. The Makar Bar quotes a Yushalmi, the way the Pnei Moshe interprets it, that Isha psula bibam.
Right.
That somewhere in Bama there's a psul, there's an exclusion of Isha. Okay?
Right.
And now the Makar Bar quotes the Tosefta. The Tosefta includes an Eved Meshuchar in Bama. And he wants to derive from this Tosefta exactly what the Pnei Moshe says in the Yushalmi, that an Isha's psula b'bama. So if we line up the Shitos here, we have on the one hand, on one side of the equation, we have Tosis, according to Ma'arit, who says Isha Ksheira Babama, and now according to the Makar Baruch, we have both Yushalmi and a Tosefta who claim that Isha Psula Babama.
Right.
So that the question of the Mishnah Lamelech, the suffix of the Mishnah Lamelech, is very well rooted in early sources, because the Ma'arit is basing himself on Tosfos that an Isha is Ksheira Babama. But we may have both a Yushalmi and a Tosefta, at least according to the Makar Baruch, who hold an isha psula b'bama. So the Mishnah Melech is well, his suffix is well founded.
Yeah, but that's because he's basically. Which,
just one more point, Alan, and then the floor is yours. Otherwise I'll lose my cheshbon. He says the following, that if you accept the Makar Baruch based on Yushalmi and the Tosefta, then we understand that we can justify our girsa against the Shita Mekubetzes that has the word isha. Why? The Shita Mekubetzes is yelling and screaming. Why would it say Zar, both Zar and Isha? It's just a repeat performance. The answer is it's not a repeat performance. A Zar is kosher on Bama. Nobody denies that. That's not a question. But an Isha, according to both the Yushami and Tosefta, is Psula B'Bama. That it must be that the din of Psul Isha B'Kodshim, which is derived from Kabbalah, is generating a brand new Psul. It's not making her into a Zar. Go ahead, Alan. Now I'm ready. I'm sorry. I just wanted to.
He wanted the reason that he wants to say that.
Who's he again? Just so many he's.
The Ma'arit.
The Ma'arit. Yeah.
He wants to say that because since by Meshuchrar, by an Eved Meshuchrar, that he's kosher b'bama. It shows what's the difference between an Eved Meshuchrar and an Eved when he's not Meshuchrar. Is the difference is that as a regular Eved, he only has the din of Isha in terms of. Of
Bama, that would
so that would sense
that would possible
since he's he would be Asur Bama if he's not Meshuchra and Isher is also
Psula Bama, right?
So he's learning because of the din of Eved,
right? Excellent. But the only comment I make on what you say is that it's not. I don't think that's the Ma'arit. I think that's the Makar Baruch. That's the only. I just want to.
Okay.
The names are not that important, but yeah, you never know.
Not as much, but yeah, it's the Makar Baruch, right? It's lovely, I have that moment.
Now, he has another paragraph here where the Shita Mekubetzes says, to add another source for us, says something increases. On, you know, the Shita Mekubetzes increases published on the page, on the dot. And there at the beginning of Krisus, the Shita Mekubetzes says, Isha Ksheira B'Bama. And that fits in beautifully. In other words, that's the way the Ma'arit learned Tosfos, but now we see it in the Shita Mekubetzes himself. So the reason why the Shita Mekubetzes omits the word Isha from the text is because he holds Isha Ksheira B'Bama, which means that her status is identical with that of a Zar. And therefore to repeat Zar and Isha makes no sense. Now he quotes the Torah's Kohanim, according to the Sifra, it says, Gerim Noshim Vavodim Ksheira B'Bama. Wow, that's impressive. You know, I heard from some of the Lumdim that the most difficult text to learn besides maybe Masechta Uktin, is the Torah's Konev. It's really murder. But here's the Torah's Konev, last week's parasha, and it says explicitly that Isha is Ksherim B'Bama.
It also says the other side. It says an edit. And Evid is kosher.
Well, so again, Evid might be the way the Tosefta said it, and Evid Meshuchra, I don't know. But the point, right, so that I don't want to get into that old debate, but at least it's Mefurish that an Isha's Ksherim B'Boma, which again supports what we saw in the Shita Mekubetzes and Krisus and what we saw in the Marit in Tosfos, again, the way he understands that an Isha's Ksherim B'Boma. And now the Shita Mekubetzes is Mamish L'Shitoso, that since an Isha's Ksherim B'Boma, and he's explicitly outspoken about that, therefore we have to change the girsa here, and we have to say, it's not Mala Isha, excuse me, Mala Kabbalah she Psula Bizar Ubi Isha. That we can't accept because Isha is the same as Zar. Okay. Now, let's put the Yalkut Biurim on the side. Okay, I'm just going to put a little thread here. So okay,
before you do, can I just ask you one
thing?
And that is, where did he bring in there before they said B'Kohen V'lo B'Kohenes?
No, that was the Gemara Kiddushin that you have. It says B'nei Aaron V'lo Bnos Aaron. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Why would he say bring it from that? That is a very difficult source to...
Wait a second, who are you asking on? That's just a quote from the Gemara.
Yeah, but...
Are you asking a kash on the Gemara? I don't mind. I'm open to kashes on the Gemara.
He can ask it on the Gemara because the question is, you say, B'nei Aaron, V'lo Bnos Aaron.
Right.
And then the question is, how do you know that the Miut is on B'nos Aaron, that the B'nei Aaron is actually a Reboy and not a Miut, and the Reboy is that even if it's a Cholo.
So wait a second, I'm not sure if I understand what you're saying. There's a general principle in Zvachim, and I see it here in Masechta Zvachim all the time, that when it says B'nei Aaron HaKohanim, it's always a Miut. Because why did the Torah have to say B'nai Aaron and then say Kohanim? I know that the Kohanim are B'nai Aaron. I know that B'nai Aaron are Kohanim. So it does like a repeat performance. So that's called a mute.
That the Kohen is the mute.
I'm not sure if it's the B'nai Aaron that's the mute because he didn't have to say B'nai Aaron or the Kohanim is the mute. But whatever it is, I don't want to get into that. That's already way too technical for me. All I want to say is that whenever you see the phrase B'nai Aaron, I Kohanim, you know it's a mute. And the miut is, says the Gemara Kiddush, which right now I don't want to get caught up in this. The Gemara says that's excluding an ish, a velo benos aaron.
Okay.
You know, because again, if I want to develop the Shia, we're going to get sidetracked on that. So you research that point, but I want to research another point.
Okay.
And this point I found here in the Nefesh Tova, and I want to read it to you. It's brilliant. Again, I apologize, I didn't do all the photocopying, so if anybody has the time to photocopy... He says the following: Bipshuto nira, the psul isha bipsul b'fnei atzma. It's not a psul zoros, and he has a brilliant chap here. He says the masnisin bekedushin tnan lamed vav. Right, that's where it is. Yeah, you have the Mishnah.
Yeah,
hasmichos vatnufos vagoshos vakmitzos vaktores vamalikos vakavos vazos nogim vanoshim velo benoshim. That's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah lists this entire list of excluding women. A, B, C, D. Of course, Kabbalah is on the list. Ubi Gemara.
But she does not.
Here, let me borrow the Gemara finally. Again, I hate to be an Indian giver, but I'm really desperate.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Minolon, and every one of these things. So Smichas Tetziv, Dabra B'nai Yisrael, V'Somach, is B'nai Yisrael, Somach V'Vei B'nos Yisrael. Tnufos, Dabra B'nai Yisrael, V'Heinef, B'nai Yisrael, V'Lo B'nos Yisrael. Again, I'm not quoting you verbatim. Hagashas Tetziv, Zos Torres, HaMincha, B'nai Aaron. B'nai Aaron, V'Lo B'nos Aaron. Kmitzos Tetziv, V'Via, Es B'nai Aaron, V'Kometa, Torres. Why is she excluded? Victiros of B'nai Aaron, B'nai Aaron. Malikos Nixivu, Malach, the Iskish Malichalak Torah. Kabbalah Nixivu, Vekrivu, B'nai Aaron, B'nai Aaron, Philo, B'nos Aaron. In other words, in a word, the Mishnah gives you an enumerated list of what all the different dimensions of Avodah and Mikdash, and that women are excluded. From the Gemara goes ahead and says, Aminolan, I need a pasuk for each one of these. Can anybody guess And here I'm happy that I didn't photocopy this for you, because you'll have more of a geschmack if you come over it with on. What is the Rosh Hashiva going to be medayik from this sugya?
It's not
mentioned.
It's not a din.
The what?
Shechita is not mentioned.
Oh, okay. So yeah, Rabosa, you're always great at taking me off into another sugya, yeah. But I'm not learning shechita.
Yeah, no,
again, Rabosa.
It's not a din of zaros.
What is on the agenda for today? We want to know: is isha psula b'torah zar, or it's a psul b'fnei atzma? What is the Rosh Hashiva going to be medayik from this Gemara? How, Alan? Because if it was a psul zar, one possible is sufficient. Just tell me that she's a zar, and that's it. Kinnun. And you don't have to go through every single limud, and every single avodah. If she's a zar, she's a zar. Right. In other words, as far as Mikdash is concerned, and the avodas hakarbonos, she doesn't have the status of a kohen. Again, you could argue against this, you know, but I just—it's so gishmak what he's saying. It's almost an absolute proof in my mind that it's not the way the Shita Megubetza says that it's really just a repetition of Zar. Right. If it's a repetition of Zar, therefore he changes the Girsa. And not only that, he claims that there are riots that she has a psul of a Zar, and that's why she's Kshera Bibama. Correct? And what were the riots that she's Kshera Bibama? There was the Yushalmi and the Tosefta. So if that be the case, then why do you need so many drashos? Right. And repeatedly, you have to exclude it from this and that and that. You know, maka achas. You know, all you need is one limud, and you can just knock out everything.
Right.
So let me read to you his language. He says, Muchach, he says, the psul isha, habi psul bifnei atzmo, and if it's a psul b'fnei atzmo, he says, you might think it's a psul in a certain avoda, not in another avoda. Masha'enkein, i'avi psul b'torah zar, sagi b'chad kro. One pasuk should be sufficient. Now he wants to know something else. Let's say it's a psul b'fnei atzmo, and it's not zar. Now, if a zar does the avoda, you know, in the Mikdash, he usurps the role of the kohen. That's a serious avera. But he says in the case of an isha, if she's not a zar, it's not the same level in avera. And he quotes the Radbaz. You know, we've been quoting the Mishnah Melech, but the Radbaz was I think a century before the Mishnah Melech, back in Cairo. And the Radbaz says the following: that if a woman does the avoda, she violates an isur aseh of bnei Aaron v'lo bnos Aaron. And you see that the Radbaz is not operating within the framework of what? Of Zaros. I mean, if an Isha is a Zar, you're talking about a very severe violence. I forget exactly if it's just Malkus or it's Misa B'dei Shemayim. I think it's Misa B'dei Shemayim. Again, I push it. I learned this not long ago, but I forgot it. But I think if my memory serves me well, if somebody could look it up, a Zar is Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim if he usurps the Avod. Am I right? Can anybody find that? I mean, you could probably find it in the Jew. But an Isha, says the Radbaz, is a violation of an essay, because the Torah says what? B'nei Aaron, the mitzvah is incumbent on B'nei Aaron, and not B'nos Aaron. It's not coming to say, according to Radbaz, that she's a Zar, but rather to tell us that there's a separate psul. And now if you add this piece together with the Yalkut Biurim that we just saw, then it's quite possible that according to Radbaz, a woman would be psula b'bama. You know, the all the support that we brought from the Marit and everybody else, you know, the Makar Baruch, you know, to try to support the view of the Mishnah Melech in one side, that an Isha is Kshera B'bama, just like a Zar, and that would support the reason why the Mishnah Melech, why the Shita Megubetza omits the word Isha. Well, at least the Radbaz seems to assume, for one, that an Isha is a separate psul. And therefore we need to derive an Isha for every single Avodah B'fnei Atzma. She's not a Zar in Avodah Sakarbonos. And the worst case scenario, if a woman goes ahead and does the Avodah, she violates an Isur Essay. Obviously she's not a Zar. And if it's such a psul, then it could be that all these avodos are incumbent upon men and not on women. In the case of a bama, she might be violating the Isra Seh. Again, I can't commit the, I can't twist the arm of the Radbaz, but just in terms of the conceptual structure that we're presenting here, the Radbaz would be on the other side of the equation, and he would insist that a woman is psula bibama. And again, we had quite a bit of, if I could just find that thing again, who was the, well, of course I can't find it now when I need it. But who remembers what was the source to say an ish is psula? Oh, the Yerushalmi of the Makar Bara, right? Because the Yerushalmi said that who's kosher bizar? I'm sorry, who's kosher b'bama? Only an eved meshuchar. So it's only an eved meshuchar. And an eved shein meshuchar is pasul bizar. And we assume that's what the Makar Bara wants to say, that an ish is like an eved. Right. She only has the same mother of Yitzhak, and then we have the hekesh exer shavalala. Not only that, he claims further, furthermore, that this is also in a Tosefta, that an ish is psula b'bama. Wow! If an ish is psula b'bama, then it means that she's not a zar. I mean, if her status was that of zar is kosher b'bama, it must be that it's a separate psula unto itself. So that fits into beautiful. So Rabosa, if we calculate, let's start again from scratch. Yesh lachkar. Why is an Isha excluded from Avodas HaKorban? Is it A, because she's a Zara, or is it B, a separate Psul Bifnei Atzma? Now let's list the Nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one would be, do I need a special Yalfusa for every single Avoda? Or can I say, once I know she's a Zara, that Gilui Milsa knocks off everything? If I say that she's a Zara, it knocks off everything. If I say it's a Psul Bifnei Atzma, then I want to establish the psul over and over again. Second afkamina, would she be kshera for Obama? If she's got a status of a zara, then a zara is kosher for Obama. She's a kshera of Obama. If on the other hand there's a psul of an isha, then that psul should apply to Obama until we know otherwise. And the third nafkamina, which I find absolutely fascinating, is what happens if a woman usurps the avoda? What is she guilty of? If she's guilty of zarus, that's an isur chamor. With, I think, a bisa b'dei shemayim. I just, if you can double check me, Yechiel.
Zar shava?
Zar shava.
It's not a bisa b'dei shemayim for four different avodos.
Okay, so for those four. So let's say a woman usurps any of those four avodos, would she be chayav bisa b'dei shemayim? The answer is yes, according to that side in the chakira, that she has the status of a zar. But if I go with the other status, and that's the Radbaz's point of view, it's only that the mitzvah is incumbent on Bnei Aaron, she's usurping the mitzvah, that's called an Isra Aseh, and that would certainly not generate a Chiyuv Bisa B'nei Shemayim. So we have three Nafkaminas.
Would that be Malkos?
No, an Isra Aseh is just like an essay, you know, there's no, and then you give Makas Mardus or something, but no, there's no. Oh. So he quotes, which is, I'm fascinated that the Masifta dropped the ball on this. He quotes a Minchas Chinuch, and by the way, I'm a little bit familiar with Masifta. Masifta is well entrenched in the Minchas Chinuch. I don't know how he left this out. The Minchas Chinuch writes that Yesh L'dayik Miloshen HaRambam She'isha B'chlal Zarhi V'im Kem Lo Avirak Iser Esei. El Shekosa v'minchas chinuch didas sefer chinuch. So again, according to the Rambam, we're talking about an Isur Zarus, and therefore it's not just Lavi Rak Isur Esa. You're talking about Zarus with the Chiyuv Misa V'dei Shamayim in four words, right? But the Minchas Chinuch writes, and if somebody can make a note of this, maybe you'll see it on the screen, a mitzvah shin tzadi. Okay? That's 390. And at the very beginning of 390, the Minchas Chinuch writes that according to Sefer HaChinuch, if she, the Isha, violates an Avoda, is Lohavi Ela Iser Ese, like the Radbaz. And he says that that's basically the suffix of the Mishnah Lamel. Okay, so that's what I have so far. He has a lot more on this. I just give me a minute to see if we want to continue with this. Oh, he has another Tosefta. The Tosefta that we quoted was where? I just want to make sure it's a different Tosefta. Was Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Hey. So again, I don't have in front of me the Tosefta Zvachim. We have it in the back, so if anybody wants to look at it. But this is a Tosefta, Perek Yud Gimel, the same Perek, but Halacha Ches. He says, in the name of the Tosefta, that Bishas Heter Abama, Ose Odom Bama, Al Pesach Chatzero, Ve'al Pesach Ginoso, Makir Valel Hu, Ubno, Ubito. Makir Valel Hu, Ubno, Ubito. Now there's a super commentary on the Tosefta called the Minchas Bikurim. Have you seen it? And he writes that mina from this Tosefta Shavino we could derive she'isha k'shera lahakriv b'bama. So this would be an amazing support for the position of the Shita of Kubetzes and the Shita of the Makar Baruch and one side of the Mishnah Melech that an isha is a zar, and that's why she's k'shera b'bama. The Ulam, however, the Sefer Zecher Yitzchak. Did anybody remember such a Sefer? I guess you have to be Yitzchak to remember. Zecher Yitzchak. Okay. Kosav, the Adarava. The Sfirle Tosefta, the Isha Psula B'bama. Ubira Tosefta. What does Tosefta mean? En Kavonisa Tosefta, Dibno Ubito Makrivim Alabama. El dechitcha tosefta dekmodi bebomas tzibur beinon shetehei shel tzibur hachinami bebomas yachid enok shera el liyachid shebana osa velo liacher vechitcha tosefta da bonu bani yachal akar le korbanos bino ubitim kol smuchin al shulchan. Wow, this is wild. We might have to learn the sugya bama here. I'm getting a cheshek to learn bama. He says that on bama, I have to be makriv for myself. I can't be makriv for you. And it's very similar to the case of a bamas tzibur that we need in the case of a bamas tzibur that the entire tzibur owns the karban. Okay, then this is fascinating because what we're saying is that the concept of a carbon tzibur, which we discussed at great length, is not just shutfim, it's not just an amalgam of yechidim, it's a new entity. That applies even in a bama. And that generates the requirement in a bama that if we're bringing a carbon on a bama on behalf of a tzibur, which is fascinating in and of itself, you know, it's not only in the mikdash do we bring carbonus on behalf of the tzibur, but even in a bama, then the carbon has to belong to the entire tzibur. But I can't be makriv on my bama for the sake of you in the case of a bama siyachid. The chiddush of the Tosefta is that I can be makriv on behalf of Beno Ubito because that forms an entity called a bias and there's smukim al shulchan aviv, and therefore he can be makriv not only for himself but also on behalf of Beno Ubito. In other words, it's like you remember the concept in Yesh Nochlin of tfusas habayis. That means when I'm kone something, I'm kone on behalf of all the bnei habayis because they're smukim al shulchanim. They don't have an independent yad l'kinyanim. Right. So it means that when I become the bialim of the karbon, and I wonder if this applies even in the Beis Hamikdash, I can bring the karbon on behalf of my children because they are samuch al shulchanim. So he's being a makriv aleim, even though it's a karbon yachid, which normally you can't be makriv on behalf of anybody else. It's similar to karbon pesach, and then since you're selavei of a selavayis. So this is really fascinating that there are two ways of learning the Tosefta. Again, the Tosefta says that b'shas heter bamas adam osa bama al pesach hatzer al pesach ginos a makriv alel hu ubno ubito. So we understood, and that's how the Minchas Bikurim understood it, that bito means that she's doing that krava. How could she do that krava? She's excluded. The answer is it's not a new psul, but rather isha's in the old psul of what? Of Zar. And this was a great raya to the Shittim Gubetzes that Isha's Psula B'Toras Zar. However, in the light of the Zecher Yitzchak, that he interprets Tosefta totally differently, and it's a chiddush in that you're not bringing the carbon for somebody else in this case, but rather you bring the carbon for yourself and your bnei, or for your bnei beso, which are considered like yourself, therefore it is included in the heter bama. So it could be that an isha is psula lahakrovus bebama because it's a separate psul. But nevertheless, you can bring a korban on behalf of an isha in a bum. Then he quotes the Sifra. The Sifra says, again, as I told you, it's very difficult to learn Sifra. Sifra says on the pasuk v'zorak hakohen es adam al mizbeach Hashem, al mizbeach Hashem. It says zrikas kohen b'mizbeach. The ein zrikas kohen b'bama. What does that mean? Very, very strange language in the Sifra. That it says b'mizbeach, so it means the kohen is zorik on the mizbeach, but ein zrikas kohen b'bama. No, so why should a kohen be pasul?
There's no requirement
that a kohen means we don't ain't no tsarif zrikas kohen. Okay, good, very good. You have to, you know, polish up the language of the sifra. And then it says the af noshim ksherim b'bom. Right, this was the sifra that we quoted earlier. Is mavur the kevin dismay at the ain't sar kohen? Oh, you're right, Zev. He says beferish. The ain't sar kohen b'bama is af isha b'chlal. No, she's included. Hainu the psul isha mishum zaris, and therefore she's hukshar b'bama. So this is a fascinating discussion because it goes back and forth with rayas this way and rayas that way. Oh, you do? Wow. He says Sima Memchesiv Beis.
Yeah.
So if you want to follow, you know, you can send that to me. Now, one of the Sfarim, which I have to get a hold of on Kodshin, I told you my library is somewhat limited, is the Migdash David. So he quotes here Migdash David that according to that school of thought, that the psul of Isha is a separate psul, and therefore she's psula milahakriv bebama. It seems that there's a Gemara in Kiddushin which is very problematic. Why? Because the halacha in bama is that an ish can be makriv a korban on a bama on behalf of an isha, and we saw it here in the Zecher Yitzchak, right? But the Gemara Kiddushin on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis has a principle all over Shas: the Chol Midi the Iu Lo Matzi Ovid Lo Matzi Mashvi Shliach. So if she herself is psula, thank you for Akrovin Obama, how could he bring the korban on behalf of her?
But not as a shliach.
So maybe it's not Midin Shlichus.
Yeah.
He says Bishleim Akonim Matsinu. This is the Migdash David. Alan, you have to have a lot of respect for the Migdash David. You know, when I say, you can just throw it out, but the Migdash David was really one of the Gedolim. I mean, what he did to Kodshim and Taras, no one else did. I have his Sefer on Taras, I don't have his Sefer on Kodshim, but you can get it on HebrewBooks.org. Just that you have to print every single page separately. He says the following: Bishlei Mekohanim Matsinu. We have Halach of Shluchei Drachmanan in him. So that even though the Yisrael, let's say, couldn't be makriv of the korban, the kohen could be makriv of the kohen on behalf of the Yisrael, because he's not a shliach of the Yisrael, he's a shliach of Rachman. Aval bebama, the avoda bizarim, lo matzinu shasasa haTorah shluchim. The Migdash Melech, the Migdash David claims that we don't find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed anybody, we're talking about zarim, as his shliach. Therefore, we have to fall back into the universal category of shlichus, and can't be shluchi didan. Right, the flip side of shluchi d'rachman is shluchi didan, and therefore we go back to the klal that you can only be for a shliach for someone who could do the maisa himself. Let's say for technical reasons he's out of the country, so he can't do it. So he points you as a shliach, but if he was here in the country, he could do it. But in the case of an isha, if we hold she's psula b'bama, nowhere on the face of the earth can she be makir of this carbon. How could she appoint an ish, a zar, or whoever he is, to be hashliach to bring the carbon? So what are you going to say? Shluchah d'rachmanan inu, but there's no shluchah d'rachmanan inu in a zar on a bama. So that again is another dimension to this to this whole discussion.
Isn't he bothered by the fact that Bito is...
Yeah, so how could the Tosefta say that he brings a korban on behalf of Bito? So you'll tell me you can circumvent the problem of Bailus on the korban. If it's a korban yachid, how can you be makrim for someone else? So she's smucha shulchan aviv, fine. But how do you resolve the problem of shlichus? Because if we're dealing with a bummer, we're dealing with according to Mishnah and Shlucha Didan, not Shlucha Drachmana, and we have a principle in the Gemara Kedusha Kaf Gimel that called Milsa the Evil of it, Lomatzi Shlucha. So how does the Shliach, in this case the Tzar, accomplish the Karban on behalf of Nisha if she herself couldn't accomplish the Karban? I'm just pointing out to you, I'm both saying this is a very rich topic here in Kodshim. And there's an overlap here of so many different concepts here. Do you realize? You know, there's Zorus and there's Psul Isha and there's Emet, and now you have the interesting element of Shluchei Rachmona, Shluchei Nidan. You have also the issue of Bama as opposed to Beis Hamikdash. I mean, like everything converges. You know, you got to know everything to know anything. Okay, that was the presentation on page Mem Aleph, if anybody wants to photocopy it. But now I want to fast forward to page Mem Ches. Okay? Now, in order to appreciate his presentation here on Mem Ches, we have to learn a sugya in Menachos. We've been discussing here in Zvachim the principle of Shelo Lishma, which means he was makriv the korban ola l'shem shlom, what we call shini kodesh. And we want to know the status of shini kodesh. Here I can use the blackboard. There are two types of psulim kodeshim. One is called psul begufo, and one is called eino psul begufo. And we're going to see in Mirtz Hashem the repercussions of that categorization. And the question is, how do we categorize the case of Shelo Lishma, or Shini Kodesh? For example, Pigel is called a Psul Begufa, and we'll see the repercussions of that. Is Shini Kodesh, like Pigel, a Psul Begufa Shel Karba? Okay, all of that sounds like a bunch of gibberish. So let's try to bring it down to the Olam Hamaisa, to the reality. Okay. So what does it say in the sugya in Menachos? So he only tells you to look at Menachos Mem Ches Amud Beis. I couldn't find a classical Gemara, but I did find this Gemara. So we'll use this. Okay, Mem Ches Amud Beis. So it says the following. Ki Asa Rav Yitzchak taught the following aloch, I guess when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Kivsei Atzeres, okay, we're getting in the mood for Chag HaShavuos. You know, Kodshim and Chag HaShavuos is almost an identical concept. I mean, Shavuos has nothing but Kodshim, right? There's nothing left. I mean, we call it Zman Matan Torah Seinu. The Torah doesn't mention Zman Matan Torah Seinu, by the way. The Torah mentions the 50th day of the Sefira, correct? But other than that, we have many, many complicated laws of Kodshim with regard to Shavuos, and one of them is called Kivsei Atzeres. And Rav Yitzchak wants to know the following: Shachton Shelo Kimitzvason. And Rashi is going to offer two different interpretations of what it means Shelo Kimitzvason. We'll see that in a minute. Psulin. Nice. The carbon is possible. Nice. Yeah. So what do we do with the carbon apostle? You have a Zvachim here?
Yeah, the Zvachim.
So it should have
Zvachim.
I mean, if it's a good shot, they give you two for the price of one.
That's right.
Okay. So you can open up to Mem Ches Amud Beis. It's right there at the top, line 3. Okay. Okay, so Rashi offers two different pshatim. In any event, wait, before we get to Rashi, so if Yitzchak says psulim, for whatever he did that was wrong, which we don't know what it is yet, it's either X or Y, Rashi's going to give two pshatim, they become possible. And what do you do as a result? To ubar tsurasam. In other words, we have to wait by leaving it past the zman, and then it becomes possible, and therefore v'yetzu l'beis hasreifa, because kachim, we're not allowed to burn, but here, since it was liachar zmano, and that's called uber tsurasam, therefore we could be motziyat l'beis hasreifa. Okay. So what exactly went on over here with this hakrov? So Rashi's first pshat is shelo lishma, that he was makriv the korban shelo l'shem zevach. He was mishana the shame zevach. Lishnachrina shedinam b'nei shana v'hevi b'nei shnatayim. That the law of the keves that's brought on Chag HaShavuos is got to be 1 year old, and here it was 2 years old. Umipi amore shmatia umipi rov hagaonin. He says, I heard this lishna from my Rebbe in the name of most of the Gaonim. And then he goes ahead, you know, after building it up, you know, you think, wow, you know, the Gaonim, who's going to argue with the Gaonim, right? Chas v'shalom. And he says, V'loshem achron eino klu. Pretty harsh language. I mean, Rashi is usually more, I don't know, Rashi I picture as an anal fellow, you know what I'm saying? But eino klu. Sounds like the Raivan on the Rambam, or, you know, or the Ramban on the Balamor. Ain't no clue. Diem Kane, my, what does it mean? Sheshachton, Shevion mi boile. In other words, he wants to suggest that since Rabbi Yitzchak went out of his way to say Shechita, to isolate the Shechita, must be some sort of psul that applies to Shechita. As we saw at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, the classical psul in Shechita would be Shelo Lishman. But if you're talking about the fact that the karmon is too old, and it's a different kind of psul, then the language should have been shehivion, not sheshachta. What does that have to do with tzeshchita? It's just avos karmon, and the karmon is possible for all the avodos. Now Tosis here, at the beginning of this sugya, Memchesim and Beis and Menachos, he disagrees with Rashi. He probably was very tempted to try to defend the Gaonim about shelo lishma. Again, we're not talking about Shalol Hashem Bailim, we're talking about Shinui Kodesh here. Now, you have another issue about Shinui Bailim, but let's focus just our focus on Shinui Kodesh. Okay, Shinui Kodesh. Let's answer the Korban Shlomim, he has in mind Lashem Ola, whatever it might be.
Why did Rabbi Yitzchak pick just on Kisei Atzeres and not any other?
Oh, excellent. That's going to be part of this discussion in Tosis. So Tosis says, "V'hadis nan kol hazvachim shenizku shelo lishman ksherim chutz mi pesach v'chatos v'lo mapik kivsei atzeres." He says, "Lo pasukle lafuke shlomim." And Tosis is saying that if there's a psul of shelo lishma, because the Gemara is assuming that this karban is pasul, then how can it be pasul when the Gemara, when the Mishnah says at the beginning of zvachim that shelo lishma doesn't passel a korban unless it has the status of a korban pesach or a chatos? So Tosis gives a number of technical answers to this question. Okay, so now why does Tosis disagree with Rashi? Why does he reject Rashi? So now the answer to this lies in the concept of Ubar Tzurasa. Okay? Now, Ubar Tzurasa means we can't burn the karban as is immediately. We have to leave it past Lina overnight. And then when there's a psul of Lina, we can take it out to the Beis HaSreif. So that's what it means by Ubar Tzurasa. Now, the general halacha is, and this is the difference between psul begufo as opposed to a psul which is not begufo, is the following, that if it's a psul begufo, for example, pigul, then we can burn the carbon immediately. In other words, there's no din of lina. We don't have to wait for any additional psul because the carbon is already psul begufo. I mean, it's meaningless to wait till tomorrow because nothing is added or subtracted by waiting till tomorrow. So that's called a psul machmas gufo, or big gufo, actually. When do we require an ibud tzuroso, to wait till lina? That's only what's called a psul machmas dover acher. We'll call it, for lack of another word, extrinsic? No, what's
extraneous.
Extraneous. Intrinsic. But what's the flip side of intrinsic?
Extrinsic.
I'm not pronouncing it right. Anyway, whatever it is, extraneous, meaning it's outside of the carbon. That's called machmas dover acher. Because if it's a psul machmas dover acher and it's not in the gufa carbon, then Tosus says It's not.
It's acceptable.
No. What I'm saying is the following: if it's machmas dover achim, I meant to say. So then we don't want to burn a carbon that's not possible gufo. That's disrespectful, let's say, for lack of a better term, to the carbon itself. Since the carbon itself is not possible in and of itself, it's a psul machmas dover achim. Now, if we're talking about shalol lishma, which is the first interpretation of Rashi, so then why do we have to wait until overnight, until Lina, in order to burn it? That should be a psul begufa. So that, let me read to you what he says here. Tosis cholkim al Rashi, because with the high tan, sphirle, depigul boy ibert sura, that according to Tosfos, beperkamet zvachim karina l'shinui kodesh psul begufa. So that if you accept Rashi's first interpretation that we're talking about a shinui kodesh, Tosfos identifies shinui kodesh with psul begufa, like pigul. Apparently, Tosfos holds that shinui kodesh or even pigul for that matter still requires ibert sura. And you see that Tosis is operating with the equation between Shinui Kodesh and Pigul, namely as a Shinui Begufo. And Tosis therefore is going to have to assume that according to Rashi, we're coming to a very iffy kind of conclusion that even in the case of Psul Begufo, we need Ibert Sura. We can't destroy, we can't burn the carbon immediately. He says, Ayin Beshita Megubeses, Sheyishev Divrei Rashi, Dahara Kar Besugyon Shinui Kodesh, Hainu Klape Psul Shinui Bailim, Mikri Begufo. Wow. He says the following, the Shita Megubeses. Don't equate Shinui Kodesh with Pigul. It's not really Psul Machmas Gufo. That's why Rashi requires Ibur Tzura. The only reason why you could call, or how you could call Shinui Kodesh as a Psul Begufo, that's only relative to the other case which Zev was talking about of Shinui Bailim. Shinui Bailim is certainly not a Psul Begufo. So again, we have three categories. We have Pigul, we have Shinui Bailim, and then in the middle we have Shinui Kodesh. And we don't know where to put Shinui Kodesh. In other words, it's being pulled in two different directions. One direction, which apparently is the way Tosis understood Rashi, is that Shinui Kodesh is identical with Shinui... With Pigul. That it's Mamish Psul Machmas Gufo. And if we still require a Hebrew Tzura before we Yotzi Beis HaSreif, it must be that even in Pigul we're going to require Shinui Tzura, which Ibur Tzura, which again is a very tenuous position. The Shita Megubeses, on the other hand, wants to categorize Shinui Kodesh under the category of Machmas
Shinui,
right? Machmas Dover Acher. It's not a Psul Begufo like what, like Pigul, but rather it's a Psul Machmas Dover Acher like Shinui Bailim. Again, Shinui Bailim means that I'm just changing the Bailim of the carbon. I'm not really doing anything to the carbon itself. At least in the case of Shinui Kodesh, one could ostensibly argue that I'm changing the whole nature of the carbon, because instead of Shlomim, I'm bringing it as an Ola. The Chiddush of the Shita Megubeses, therefore, in order to justify Rashi's Pshat, and the reason why we require Ibur Tzura in the case of what? Of Shinui Kodesh, because Rashi interprets that Rabbi Yitzchak here in Menachos is talking about Shinui Kodesh. Of Shalol Lishma is because he identifies Shinui Kodesh like Shinui Bailim, that's not really Begufo. And if he considers it as a Shinui Begufo, it's only relative to Bailim, and it's less Begufo than Bailim, than Shinui Bailim, but still, fundamentally, it belongs to that category called what? Called Shinui Bailim, meaning Eino Psul Begufo, El Psul Machmas Dover Achim. He says, "V'tzarech biu, amai psul machshava the shinui kodesh lo mikri psul begufa, maishno mi pigul, to anami Havi psul machshava, v'yafal pikan mikri psul b'guf karma. And therefore, lo boi ibur tzura, except for that calculation of Tosfos. So again, let's just summarize this question. He's asking, why should we classify shinui kodesh as shinui bailut? We have on the other extreme the psul, and this is the paradigmic case of psul begufo, namely pigul. And why is shinui kodesh any worse than pigul? I don't know. Maybe we can make a kalvachomer. In the case of pigul, he's just changing the zman. In the case of kodesh, his zman is changing the very essence of the karma, and it's going to have many nafkaminas. And yet, what we're saying is that no. It's not, shinui kodesh is not considered like pigul. It's not a psul begufo shel korban, it's a psul machmas dover achman. That's why Rashi says you need ibur tzura. Why? Now, if you're talking about shinui bailim nicha, bishlem shinui, that I can understand is not a psul begufo shel korban. Again, he's changing the machaber. I'm not saying that's Slav Vilsa's intricacy, but it's not intrinsic in the karma. But shinui kodesh is certainly intrinsic into the karma. Why is it less intrinsic than pigul? So pigul we're classifying as posel machmas gufo, even though it's only a machshava, but that machshava is enough to make it so bad, so posel, that I just let the karma go up in smoke, and I don't even have to wait till ibur tzura, I don't have to wait for lina. Masha'enken, in the case of shinui kodesh, shelo lishma, going to Rashi or Menachos, I'm going to have to wait for ibur tzura because it's not a shinui. It's not, excuse me, a psul machma a begufo, but rather it's a psul machma stovra.
It's very much. If we say it's like shinui shem, shinui bailim, then it's not the korban is not even psul.
Excellent.
Kosher.
Excellent. And what's the deal with shinui kodesh in most korbanos? Leave out chatos. Exactly. They don't hold the shem bailim. So that would certainly prove Rashi shita. That this is not a psul machmas gufo or big gufo, because again we don't understand it conceptually, but at least the proof is in the pudding. We're quoting Rashi to prove that shinui kodesh is somewhat of a secondary kind of psul. It's extraneous. It's not intrinsic because Rashi requires ibur tzura in order to be matis reifa. Forget about that. I have a more fundamental proof that I should gather together shinui kodesh with shinui bailim. It's not a psul machmas gufo because the Mishnah says hey, no ol shame chova, the bailim shame chova. But on a conceptual level, it's really tantalating. You know, it bothers the mind. For those who have trouble sleeping, anyway, you know, this would be another reason why you might wake up in the middle of the night. And that is why call shinui kodesh something that's extraneous? It seems to be intrinsic in the karma. Oh, as he says, Kasav Maran bechidushe Hariz Halevi. So he quotes the Brisker Rav in Hilchas Psulim Mekdashim. He tells you it's on page 94. If somebody can make a note of this, because this would be great for my Brisker Shir on Sunday. The dafka pigul, the chal al yodo paslus al habasar, mikri psul begufa. Now, the basar is only bad, is only permitted, is only allowed to be eaten within a certain time frame, and he's changing that time frame. Again, that's what he's trying to accomplish with his machshava al menas lizrog domo chutz lizman. That itself is a psul on the gufa basar. And therefore, lahachi mikri psul begufa. Avol psul machsheves shelo lishma. Hapsul chal rak al hakarbon velo al habosar. Vizelo mikri psul begufa. Whoa, very abstract, no?
Korban is like a metaphysical
entity. It doesn't relate to the basar, it relates to the karban as a status of a karban. I'll give you an example by sheer association. Again, Chas Shalom, my Rebbe would yell at me for saying this because we don't make hakeshen, but it's just by sheer association, it reminds me of the case of karban pesach shaloli ochlov. In the karban pesach shaloli ochlov, according to Mani Yom Achilam HaKeves, how is the karban kosher? It's shaloli ochlov. So no one can eat it. But the answer is, in terms of the carbon as a carbon, if I strip the carbon of its specific identity, and I abstract it, there's a law in carbonos that a carbon could be kosher even shelo l'shem achlav. Again, in a carbon pesach, I can't say such a thing. But insofar as a carbon pesach is also a carbon, it takes on some of the dinim of a carbon that go above and beyond its unique identity as a carbon pesach. So even though it's shelo l'achlav, and we hold like the Madi Omer who says achilu ma'kevis for carbon pesach, but nevertheless, it's a nechal, I can still eat this carbon, but Torah's carbon. It's a carbon and it's a pesach.
You can't eat it, but even if you can't eat it, it doesn't matter. Because it's a din of carbon.
I can't eat it, but Torah's carbon pesach. For example, the mitzvah of Yochlos, Abbas, and Malayla, I said I would not fulfill because with Shalol Yochlo. But I can fill the mitzvah of Achilas carbon. Achilas kachim, right. Again, it's not a shlomim because the carbon pesach is mano. I'm not talking about Bosar Pesach here, right? But nevertheless, I can at least gain the achila as a carbon. You follow my saying, you know, who are you? So I'm a human being, I'm a man, I'm a Jew, and finally, I'm a Zaria Bershar. You know what I'm saying? So there are many answers to the question, who are you? So when I ask a carbon pesach, who are you? So he gives me many answers. His first answer on the list is, I'm a carbon. Then he tells you, well, I'm a carbon pesach. And then he says, well, you have to eat me, b'toras v'yachlas abbasim alai lazeh. But now if I want to eat you on a b'toras carbon, I can go back to your original identity as a carbon. Okay, forget it. I leave that out. But I'm just saying here, what the Brisker Rebbe is saying is that Shini Kodesh, what I'm saying is that this is a carbon shlom, and I'm bringing it as an ola. But the Brisker Rebbe says that's a psul in carbon. That already is not a psul on the basar. Because I can't change the laws of the basar. And if it's an ola, it's going to be kula kol, right? There's no way I can set it up as... So he says, l'shem shlomim. What he's tampering with, and he's trying to undermine, is the carbon as a carbon. The carbon is to be I said in Pesach, you can even abstract it even further, that even it's a carbon Pesach, it still has the shem carbon. But what he's saying is that if I want to undermine the status of this ola and make it into a shlomim, that's a psul, for whatever repercussions there are. And that psul is on the shame carbon. It's on the identity of the carbon. The carbon is an ola and it's not a shlom. That's what he's trying to undermine. But he's not doing anything on the basar. In the case of pigul, he's saying, eat the basar tomorrow.
So
he says, v'nira d'yesh lo chiyach, this is already the Rosh Hashiva, the pigul avi psul b'basar, mean the sphere leila Rabbi Yossi. Okay, now again he quotes a sugi which I'm not familiar with. The pigul b'yerech yamin, if he was mafagel in the yerech yamin, you know, he said that the right leg of this karmon should be eaten chutz zman. Velo pigul b'yerech small.
No, there's a din of you can't be mafagel b'chayek. That's
and it's interesting that he was only mafagel on part of the karmon, right on the yamin and not on the small. Is the Gemara says that Efshar Lefagel on Chelek mi Basar Karbon. He says, wait a minute, there's no psul pigul here on the carbon itself, because as far as the carbon itself is concerned, it's going to be eaten bismano, because even in the Machshava of this Kohen, the Yerech Smol is going to be eaten bismano, but yet this carbon becomes pigul. Why? He's saying this would prove the Brisker Rav that the pigul is on the guf ha-basar, and therefore kasher, or maybe means kevan. Oh, I'm sorry, I read it kasher. Kevan shuhu psul b'basar is shayach lefagel afilu b'chelek min ha-basar. Yeah, I'm not sure if I understand this, Rabbi. I'm just parroting what he's saying right now, like a tuki, but because I'm not familiar with the sugya. But he says the sugya can be mechalik. You can be mefagel on part of the basar, even though you weren't mefagel on another part of the basar.
But everything is pigul.
The whole carbon becomes pigul. How is that so? It's like magical. I would have said that maybe you should have a challah shem pigul on the side yamin, the yerech yamin, but not on the yerech small. He says the answer is that the dinim and the psul that's generated in pigul is on the what? Is on the basar. If it was on the carbon itself, the carbon should still claim, well, you have an achilah bismano, even according to his makshev is pigul.
Okay.
He says the afle minded plingi. He says there's one man the yomer who argues. Hayu mishum dal yidei machsheves pigul chal din pigul al kol akor. But the ikar gedel of plingi the pigul havi chalos psul begufa basar v'lchein chashuv psul begufa. So again, I wish I could come up with a parallel case in Shinu Kodesh. Like, I'm just thinking out of the box for a second. What would happen if he wanted the Yerech Yamin to be Shlomim, the Yerech Smol to be Ola, and the Korban is a Korban Ola? So would there be a Shinu Kodesh? And I think maybe that would not be a Shinu Kodesh, because the Psul is not in the Guf HaBasar, but it's rather in the abstract Shem Korban. The Griz had a different proof. The Af. Okay, what time is it now? All right. So you know what? I begin to realize that this goes on and on and on. I think this is a fascinating topic that maybe we should continue with it. We can take a vote and make that decision, make that call. But for now, I just want to summarize what we covered today. I mean, the main thrust of our discussion today was about the status of an isha, bnei Aaron v'lo bnos Aaron in kodshim, whether or not it's a psul zoros or it's a separate psul, and we had three or four nafkaminas to this chakira, and lemaisa it's a sofik in the Mishnah Melech, and it's a question of the girsa in our Gemara, where the Gemara daf dalet with regard to Kabbalah Saddam is talking about both zar and isha. We should drop the word isha because isha is no different than a zar, and the nafkaminim of the sofik of the Mishnah Melech gabi zoros. At the end of this year, we had a discussion about the psul of Shinu Kodesh, whether it's more similar to Shinu Bailim and it's Machmas Dover Acher, or it's more similar to Pigul, and therefore it has the status of Machmas Gufo. And the answer, according to the Brisker Rav, is that there's more of a compelling logic in favor of Rashi's position that Machsheves Shinu Kodesh, Shalol Lishma, is not to be equated with Pigul, with Machsheves Pigul, because Machmas Gufo means in the Gufa Basar, not in the Shem Karban. And in that sense, Shinu Kodesh is very similar to Shinu Bailin, because what you're tampering with is the Karban. Whose Karban is it? Is it your Karban or my Karban? And now we're asking, which Karban is it? And which Karban is it is also an issue of classifying the Karban and its status, but not in the Gufa Basar. And the Rashiva here of Shlomo Katz wants to prove that the Brisker Rav is right, that Pigul is a psul in the Guf HaBasar from the sugya of Yerech Yamin and Yerech Smol. So at this point, I want to wish everyone, what are we up to? Parshas Emor, right? No, we're up to Parshas Bahar. Yeah, Chutzlarts, I think they're lagging behind. Or did they catch up? Oh, this Shabbos they'll catch up. So for everyone who's here in Eretz Yisrael, it should be a wonderful Parshas Bahar. And it should be Manyan Shmita Yisrael Har Sinai, we should be Zocha to Har Sinai, to Kabbalah Satorah. Yeah. And then now that we're past like Ma'omer, we're being projected very close to the end of the Sphira, and we're really holding by Manyan Shmita Yisrael Har Sinai. It should be a Ritz Hashem. Vayichad Shav Yisrael Kish Echad Belev Echad. Amen. 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 Okay.